certainly grew up being acutely aware that we were in a family business, and that my brother and I, with me as the eldest son, there was a high likelihood that we would be expected at some point to come work in the business. But my parents were really, really good at trying to push us to go and do something else, to get a bit of wider experience. So when the time came that I actually came into the business, I was ready. And so, that was in 1993. My parents hadn't been particularly well. My father certainly hadn't. And I just came in and helped on the sales side of things as a starting point. And then my brother Henry joined the business shortly after, and he took over running the factory. When I grew up, we did live away from the site. But when I was 15, we moved here into the hall, which is on the site itself. And I think in those days, it was a lot less busy than it is today. But I can remember the number of times that we would be going out to friends for a dinner party or lunch or whatever it might be, and we would get to the end of the drive, and or maybe a little further if we were lucky, and my father's bleeper would go off and there'd be something wrong with the vinegar making system, and we'd have to stop, turn around and go back, and we'd all sit waiting for the problem to be solved, and my father would actually appear about 4 hours after lunch had finished going, that's not going to happen. So I have memories of that we many an event was curtailed because something had happened at the site. But also there was a thing of when, you used to come home from school, you'd go and have a look round and something had changed because we were going through a huge expansion phase at that time. And, a tree had gone or a building had gone up, a bit of concrete had been laid, whatever it was. So it was always fascinating to see. And I suppose sort of surreptitiously it sort of crept up on you, and suddenly here I was working in the company.
Would your parents recognise many of the challenges that the business faces today? You have a quality product and you've got to persuade people to buy it. Yeah. That remains the same throughout.
It does. I think what's changed primarily is that my parents built the business supplying supermarkets under their own brand. So our brand was sold in health food stores and places like that, but we had no real retail presence like we do now. So in those days, you could be chopped and changed at the drop of a hat because the consumer wouldn't know if so-and-so's vinegar was made by someone else because it would be made to the same recipe. And what we did is when we came into the business, we realised the sort of vulnerability of that, I guess. And I can remember losing a bit of own label business because we had that particular supermarket decided they wanted to have more branded products on the shelf. And sitting on the train on the way home going, well, hang on a minute, we've got a brand. Why couldn't it have been us that they picked rather than someone else? And that's really the catalyst to get us thinking about revamping and redoing our brand. And the transformation was enormous. And you're still in that situation. I suppose now our customer base is slightly more spread. So we weren't relying on two or three customers like my parents were in those days. But we still got one or two customers who are very big. And you've always got that ever-present thing of,
Will they, won't they?
So, and the difference now, I think, with having a brand is that you're far more in control about the story you tell about it, how you market it, that kind of thing. And once you create a following for it, then it's a harder thing to replace off the shelf if you've been successful at creating that desire around the brand, really.
With regards to business advice, people are going to look to you and your brother, to the family, yeah, and see success, and they're going to want advice. We're all asked for advice at some point in our lives, but when it comes to business advice, what advice do you give to small, medium enterprises, to someone listening who has an idea, has the funding in place if they're lucky enough, but they feel quite lonely. The ideas are in their head, perhaps. Maybe they have one other person if they're lucky, a partner. Yeah. But it can be a very lonely place, can't it, business?
It can, and I think, if you are starting out and you have got a great idea, providing you're not sharing it with someone who then runs off with it, the key thing there is to have a look around and see either what brands you admire or businesses in the sector that you're operating in, or someone who's doing something similar with a different product that's non-competitive. You can then go to them and say, could we meet for lunch? Could we have a chat about something? And I think most business owners and successful business people, I think, would probably react positive to someone saying, can I come and talk to you about X or Y? And you can start to sort of impart a bit of knowledge. I remember going on an exporting course in Bedford, or near Bedford, and I went with a friend of mine who was running his own business. And what made me think a little bit about mentoring and giving advice was that a few weeks later, we bumped into him and his wife, and I was with my wife, and we all sort of sat down and had a coffee. And when we left, my wife turned around and said that apparently he'd got more out of the 4 hours in the car there and back with me than he had out of the seminar itself. And it got me thinking that where I am in my stage of life is, I've seen everything and done everything, but I've got a great deal of experience of dealing with various supermarket customers or whatever, building a brand, the highs and lows, you know, dealing with people, recruiting, all that kind of stuff. And so there's a sort of inherent knowledge that one has that you can impart. And so this idea of being able to mentor or help people along the journey, I think is great.
Now, one way you're doing that, of course, is through the IOD and through their scheme, Expert Connections. It's obvious what the recipients are getting. They're getting insight and they're getting your knowledge and they're getting an understanding of business. But what are you getting from it?
Well, I think, one, it's the intellectual challenge of whatever it is that that person's doing that you're being asked to help or advise on. Obviously, you're not there to do it all for them, but really to challenge their thinking. And quite often, your thinking is challenged because invariably the person who you're working with is a young, thrusting individual who wants to create their new thing and they're full of beans and they want to go and do something. And they'll say, well, why do you do that? And why do you do this? And how did you get that? And what was behind this? And quite often you're asked questions where you sort of finish the meeting and go, why did we do that? Or why are we doing that? And I'm a firm believer that you're never too old to learn and you're never too experienced to learn. And you can so often see through other people's enthusiasm for something, something where you can improve what you're doing yourself. But also it's nice to see some of your experience playing true to whoever it is that you're helping. So I get a lot of pleasure out of that. And, you know, we live in this wonderful county which is getting a stronger and stronger reputation for food and drink. And I think the more we can do to help that grow and the more I can do to be a part of that growth is very rewarding.